Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And Lou is joining us today, and she is bringing for us, for a first time ever on this podcast, I think,
I think
that was written for adults. It's called The Woman at Troublesome Creek.
The Book Woman.
Or no, Book Woman at Troublesome Creek. Mm-hmm. Nah, I can't talk. Anyway, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I was fascinated by the title because a few years ago, a local Texas author named Kathy Apelt had written one that was about that area, but it was a short children's book, and there wasn't a lot of information. And so when I saw it, I was really interested because I knew about the women that were actually hired as part of, after the Depression, the work projects program that mm-hmm. Roosevelt put in. And they basically made that for men and for the hardworking things. And then they realized that there were a lot of women that weren't getting by at all either.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they added jobs specifically for women that were either related to school cafeterias or some kind of a sewing thing or, you know, that kind of thing. And then they established libraries for areas where there was no access to them. And Kentucky was the place where it was most successful. It was in the mountains. And so this is the story of Cussie Mary Carter.
And I love her nickname. That
well,
amazing.
Actually, that
That's
is her name.
Name.
Yes,
wow.
Because her ancestors moved from the Normandy area of France, mm-hmm. and the town was Cussie. And so they named her after that name. But the fascinating thing about her, and that made the book so much more interesting, is she was one of the blue-tinged women of Kentucky.
No way!
Yes, yes. They actually, when they're born, they have blue-tinged fingers. And as they grow older, it becomes more prevalent. And even when they pee, it peed blue.
So, what?
So, yes.
I didn't know that bit of trivia.
Yeah, that was an extra.
That was it. Well, I just thought that was fascinating. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they were discriminated against, even though, you know, they were Anglos.
Blue?
Yes, because they were
because
blue.
Because they were blue.
And so the whole story revolves around how hard she worked to get up there and... But not only did she have to struggle against the landscape because it's mountains, mm-hmm. they would actually, most of the bookwomen in that area would put in 90 miles a week.
Oh, wow.
Of travel
on horseback
or walking. She actually had a mule that she used, and that made it more interesting too because the mule, and I think this may be why mules are considered to be stubborn. There were times when the mule would stop and refuse to take her any farther, and it always turned out that there was a snake ahead or, you know, some person that mm-hmm. was loitering that the mule thought was dangerous and that kind of thing. And so just the struggle and then the people that she met and, you know, that bringing books to, they were mm-hmm. so grateful. You know, even the ones that couldn't read would look at the pictures in the magazines.
Wow.
And it was set up where the materials would come to the post office. And once a week, the different women that had different routes, there were, I think, six from that particular one, and they would gather to separate what was there. And all the books were donated. The only thing that the government paid for was the salaries. And mm-hmm. the women made $28 a month.
Wow.
For all of this.
I have to ask before we go any further, is this an example of some of like the librarians on horseback photos that we see circulating around on the internet sometimes?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. Yeah, it certainly was. And another thing that fascinated me so much is my maternal grandfather immigrated from Tennessee in the mountains.
Okay.
His county was actually deemed to be the poorest county in the entire state of Tennessee.
Wow.
And he immigrated when he was young to Arkansas and was a coal miner. And all of the men in this area of that book were coal miners. And so much of it, you know, I thought, that's my ancestors having to live like that. You know,
yeah.
It's just, mm-hmm. it just really opened up a new picture of
wow.
what they went through. So.
Approximately how many people did they end up serving? Does it kind of go into that at all?
Actually, I looked that up online because I was, you know, fascinated with the whole thing. I studied the blue
like
tinge people.
And, yes.
Did all my research and everything. That's why I have the notes. They would see an average of like six families a day, but the families were so large
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there might be nine people in a little one-room cabin house. And so, yeah, quite a few. And another interesting fact that I found out, one of the senators of Kentucky was a child when that happened. And he was one of the first people to advocate for an American library system.
Wow.
And they think he was influenced, you know, by that program.
So what exactly does this go into about her life? Is it like a snippet of just a continuous amount of time in her life when this started up? Is it mostly her meeting the people? Is there a lot of personal stuff in there?
It's a combination of all of those things. It doesn't go into too much of her childhood, except that she didn't go into town very much because she was discriminated against. The whole family was. And so they stayed in the hills and the hollers. You know, most of it's based on her experience through there. And the women, the other librarians, she had to apply for it through the mail because she knew if she went into the local office and applied, they would turn her away. Mm. And so she was accepted that way. And then they really resented her more because, you know, she went over them. And
yeah.
Every feeling you ever have reading a novel, I cried three or four times, some for happy tears and some for, you know, just the tragedy of the lives. That one of the things, the children would die of something called pellagra, which
I've never heard of that.
Came from malnutrition. Uh-huh. I looked that up too, and it's like not being able to process niacin now.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons that we take B vitamins because it helps prevent that. So as far if you want to know about history and just the courage and fortitude of our ancestors and what they've accomplished,
especially in these like really isolated pockets.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they didn't get, and they were so resentful of the government, you know, so many of them. They wouldn't even accept books because it was the government that set up that program. And she would have to ease into, you know, and convince them that, they were donated by the PTOs or PTAs and the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts of America, which was true because they had to get donations for it. But not only did they take the books, they also would make little scrapbooks where they would take recipes that people, a lot of times the people that thought the government, you know, they didn't want to take anything from the government, they would give her a recipe of something in return because they didn't want to take anything free. You know, they felt resentful of that. And so they would make little scrapbooks with recipes and how-to things to help them in the home and magazine cutouts and stuff because the magazines they got were really old, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even guessing that it's not like they can go run to the store and pick up supplies or whatever.
No.
Most of what they needed, they had to keep on hand on some level.
Well, and not only that, but raise it themselves.
Right.
You know, most of them didn't have the money to go to the store.
Was this like a library situation where she would come and pick up the books, or were these
she would go once a week? They would meet in the post office and go through the shipments that had come in and separate the six women that actually I think they finally got a man at the end. It started with the women, but they'd separate them and put them in their saddlebags or you know what we would call a backpack. They tried to choose. It reminded me of Lisa Laredo, you know, who is our outreach librarian. They would try to talk to the patrons enough to figure out what it was they really needed and what they would enjoy. And so, you know, there was a lot of, it wasn't just checking out a book like some people think what we do.
Yeah.
It was, you know, trying to serve your patrons as well as you can.
But once they got the books, were they there forever?
It was for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And
then
they would give them back, and they always gave them back. You know, they were very, they didn't have any overdues that it talked about. And I don't think they would have because the people were so grateful to have that because they never had.
Yeah. Six families per person is a lot.
Well, like, especially when you have to travel, you know,
so
12 miles or so into the...
Just to go to one family.
Right. Stubborn mule.
Yes, riding a mule if I could stop at any moment.
And in the winter, it went on all year long.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Winters, and there were creeks that would flood, and several times, you know, she had to go through icy creeks, and it was just, it would make a good movie.
Why is the location called book? Troublesome Creek?
Because that's the name of the creek.
Okay. Do we know?
Yeah, there was another one called Cut Shin Creek, which that was the name of the children's book, actually, that I knew about. And it's just a very hazardous area of Kentucky.
Wow.
And the moonshiners, you know, that's how they made their living, too. And so she had to be leery of, you know, men that would come out and, you know, just be careful about being alone with some of the people that lived up there.
Is there anything that you learned from this book that
you had never heard about before? Or was this all stuff that you had kind of heard snippets about or seen?
I think my knowledge was very limited, you know, so it just instilled so much more understanding of what had come before. So, yeah, I didn't know about the blue-skinned people at all.
Until, I heard about them, but I just...
They actually, she worked it into her book, but she says in the ending that she put it in before it was discovered, that they finally got blood work from some of them in the 60s, I think, and realized that they were missing an enzyme that helped process oxygen in the blood. Then they could give them some kind of, like a pill or an injection that would turn their skin normal. But it was temporary. It would only last a day, and then they'd have to start it up again. And a lot of times it made people sick, you know, to take the medication. So just look
I had never heard that they were discriminated against, so that was interesting to hear. Especially because, I mean, maybe I can understand, because people don't like things that are different, and when someone comes down the mountain and they're blue.
Well, these people especially, because they were so, they didn't have access to anybody else except their own community.
So you kind of keep anything, to your own family, sort of?
Yeah, and anything that was rare like that, they often attributed it to the devil's work.
Yeah.
And so you put that combination of things together, and that's the result. She might not have been discriminated if she'd been in a city, you know, or it was just part of the culture.
What kind of reader would you recommend this book for?
Anyone who's interested in history. And to me, it related a lot to the way we sometimes treat outsiders, even in today's world. So I think anyone that cares about accepting people for who they are, not what they look like.
So hopefully all of our listeners.
If I'm thinking correctly, I think some of those regions are still fairly remote and sparsely populated. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is there any real, like, development or anything in some of the regions that are covered in the book?
Probably some. You know, Kentucky's known for its horse racing and things like that. But because it's in the mountains, I'm sure there are still pockets of you know, of course they have access. I don't know that Amazon delivers up there.
But, you know, they have more access to more.
They may not have super high-speed broadband. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when you think about how much our lives have changed. You know, my grandmother, she didn't believe that we went to the moon because there were so many changes in her lifetime, automobiles and airplanes and, you know, all those kinds of things. And if she saw it now, she saw me sitting here talking into a microphone.
Into a microphone while you're being recorded on a camera.
Right, exactly.
For your internet fans.
Yes. She would be astounded. So that was another thing. It just showed me how much the world has changed and how quickly it does it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I kept having to remind myself you were talking about the 1920s, not the 1800s.
Actually, it was the 1936.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, which that was 12 years before I was born.
It's mind-boggling just to think less than 100 years ago, people were having to ride their donkeys into the mountains to deliver books.
Right.
And, like, face all sorts of hazards just to even make the trip.
Moonshiners and snakes and...
Well, much less forging creeks. I mean, that's where I died all the time on Oregon trails.
Yes, I didn't. I never made it past.
Maybe they should have made one, the Troublesome Creek.
Yeah, they had a
Journey to Troublesome Creek.
Yeah, book delivery simulation game.
How does this book compare to the one that you read that was for children? It wasn't, that one wasn't about book delivery, correct? It was just about a similar region, or was it about
book delivery? No, it was about book delivery.
Oh, okay.
And it had a lot of this. This one has a lot of photos in it.
Oh, cool.
From those times, and that one did too. It didn't focus on any particular person that was involved. And this person is fictional, of course.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But it
was this a recent publication? Do you know?
Because I know it came out earlier in 2019.
Okay, because I know there was a big kerfuffle about this book, I think, coming out, and then directly after it, a book by a very famous author, very similar book, also came out, which was really interesting because there was a lot of suspicion on whether or not the more famous author had, like, gotten some information about the book and been like, oh, this is great. It fits exactly with my fan base.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, quickly put one out because I think, if I remember correctly, this is the one people were like, this one seems, like, a lot better researched and, like it was planned out better. The other one just seems like a formulaic, like, throw it all together and just add a traveling librarian.
Well, actually, the children's edition, mm-hmm. much of the general information that was in there was
in
here.
Yeah, one,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, you know, basic information you can't change it if you do your research correctly. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, the characters were just really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, thank you so much for bringing a book that is fascinating, both on a professional level as well as just fascinating in general.
Yeah, and for your first adult fiction review.
You definitely picked a good one. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.